It's always so good to see everyone each week, and I'm glad to see you today. If you're new, either in person or online, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm just, you know, it's really, for me, it's a privilege to be able to sow some truth from the Bible into your lives today. And if you are new, you're probably wondering what I mean by this. Well, Jesus used to use a whole bunch of different agricultural metaphors, stories he'd tell, just, you know, different agricultural type of language to refer to spiritual truths. In one discourse, actually, that's recorded by the early church historian Luke, he told a story about a farmer sowing seeds, right? Many of you are probably familiar with it. And when his followers actually questioned him, what is the meaning of this story? Like, you're talking about planting seeds. What's that mean? He says, well, this is what this story means. The seed is God's message. So Jesus is saying that whenever someone talks to you about God, or you talk to somebody about God, the Bible, or about who Jesus is, what he's done for you, there's a correlation that happens when a seed is planted in the ground. It needs to find soil that's receptive, that's fertile, right? So it can grow and produce fruit. Here in Alberta, anyways, I think being an agricultural leader in the world, we understand a lot of these metaphors, don't we? And we understand the natural laws that are at work when it comes to the whole area of sowing and reaping crops. However, you don't have to be a farmer or the son of a farmer to benefit from these laws, do we? In fact, whether you understand how things grow or not doesn't keep you from enjoying the harvest, right? I've never grown rice. I don't know how to do it. Yet I do enjoy it with some meals. And in the same way, there are laws that God has established this universe upon, both natural and spiritual laws. There are laws of physics, laws of mathematics, right? Laws of chemistry. You can study, you can learn these things. But there are also spiritual laws that we can learn and study in the Bible. We can discover natural laws by looking at God's creation. And we discover spiritual laws by looking at God's word. And as I said earlier, you don't have to understand these laws to benefit from them. In other words, you don't have to understand why God does what he does. You just have to cooperate with it. If you do, you're going to benefit whether you understand that law or not. For instance, I don't understand the law of magnetism, but it doesn't stop me from using a compass to not get lost, right? I don't understand the law of gravity, but I'm in good company, I hear, because even Einstein said nobody understands the law of gravity, right? It doesn't make sense, because when you spin something around, what's it do? It pushes out. It throws things off, right? Yet the earth is spinning around, it's spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning, and it's attracting. Einstein says, that doesn't make sense. I think he was a pretty bright guy. It doesn't make sense, but I'm sure glad it works. Right? Aren't you glad that the law of gravity is consistent? Imagine if Tuesday and Thursday were non-gravity days. Or it just switched up. At least if it was Tuesday and Thursday, you know, okay, I'm staying in bed. I'm not going anywhere, right? But if it was random, it's like, oh boy, you know, do I dare take a step outside? We have no idea, right? The thing about God's laws is that because they are God's laws, they are always true. And because they're always true, you can always count on them to work. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to discover 9 spiritual laws that have to do with sowing and reaping. And I have to apologize that we're talking about sowing and reaping right now, because the last couple of weeks, I think, great, in a week or two, we're going to be actually out there planting our gardens. I forgot I moved 5 hours north of where I was before. But the fact is, we're only going to be able to cover 4 of them today, because like I said, there's 9 spiritual laws, and I didn't think you wanted to be here till supper time. So you'll need to come back next week to get them all. See how I did that? Anyways, you'll want to come back. You will. Because these laws not only apply to planting fruit and vegetables, these 9 laws will apply to your relationships, to your time management, to how you use your words. They relate to your talents and abilities, to your finances, and to you finding fulfillment and purpose in your life. Sound intriguing? Hope so. Good. Well, let's start with the first law then. Number 1, everything starts as a seed. Everything starts as a seed. Have you ever thought about that? Every dream is a seed. Every invention started as a seed thought, a dream, an idea. Your life began as a seed. Since creation, everything starts as a seed on this planet. In the very first chapter of the Bible, calls this to our attention when God says, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. You know, there's an old cliche that anybody can count the seeds in an apple, but only God knows how many apples are in a seed. That's because a seed has exponential potential, right? You take one seed and you plant it in the ground. That seed grows into a tree, which produces fruit year after year once it matures, which produces more fruit. They produce more trees, which produce more fruit, more seeds, more fruit, more trees. Do you see what's going on here? In 1,000 years, you can have an entire forest of hundreds of thousands of acres from one single seed. That's how God made this world to work. And it's why he told his ancient preacher Zechariah, do not despise these small beginnings. Because everything starts small. Everything starts as a seed. Who's seen a redwood tree? Has anybody driven down south or over to the island, seen a redwood? They are ginormous, aren't they? Ginormous trees. The tallest known redwood, I looked it up, is in Northern California. It's over 380 feet tall. That's more than 3 football fields long. Wow. There are redwoods where the trunk is so, are as big as this entire room. That's a big tree, right? Giant. They're just enormous. Have you ever seen a redwood seed? They're dinky. They are. It's like a little speck of pepper. You'd look at it and you wonder, how in the world could something so small grow into something so huge? That is the exponential potential in a seed. Everything starts as a seed, even the church. John recorded Jesus speaking about his coming death. He made the following statement. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Jesus knew his death would lead to the birth of something incredible, the forever family of God, the church. How do you know that? Well, because he made the laws. He's the one who made the universal and eternal laws. And Jesus said that each time we share the good news about him, that we are planting seeds into people's lives. And each seed has the potential to bring new life to that person. But even this works best, I think, when you start small. Simply planting seeds of God's love, of his truth in relevant and practical ways. Having folks over for a barbecue. Maybe wait till the snow's gone. Just going for coffee together, right? Sharing some hobbies, maybe some interests. Building relationships that can grow, that can mature. Inviting them to church and introducing them to your best friend and Savior. Folks, you just need to start with one person. One person. That's all. And begin to sow into their life and see what God does. And here's a promise for you to trust in as you do. Though you started with little, you'll end with much. Because that's what happens when you plant a seed. You reach one person who reaches one person who reaches one person who reaches one person. Before you know it, the message of Jesus Christ has touched the entire world. Everything starts as a seed. Law number two. Nothing will happen until a seed is planted. Nothing happens until a seed is planted. You know, a couple of years ago, well, it could have been a few more actually, maybe 3 years ago, I bought some vegetable seeds because I thought, we need to maybe start growing some of our own vegetables. And you know what? Those seeds produced nothing. Couldn't figure it out until last summer when I was packing the garage to move here and I found a Rubbermaid full of seeds in it. Of course they didn't produce. I never planted them, did I? A seed that's in a box in a garage is worthless. Seeds are meant to be planted. Remember what Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat is planted, unless it's planted. It all starts with planting. Imagine there's a farmer. He's like some folks. They look at their life and they go, you know what? It's so empty. I've got this barren field. It's empty. My life is empty. There's no crop. There's no produce, no fruit. He's got a field that's producing nothing in his life. So what does that farmer do when he's got an empty field? Doesn't complain about it. Well, his farmer, he might complain about it. But anyways, sorry, farmers. I've been around for a long time. But they don't go, you know, I'm in this terrible situation. Oh, woe is me. Why do I have empty, barren fields? He doesn't worry about it. He doesn't complain about it. He just does something about it, right? What's he do? He plants some seeds. Because he knows that nothing is going to happen to that field until he does. Some church people, we can tend to be that way, can't we? Waiting on God. Maybe waiting for their job, waiting for a spouse. Waiting on God to grow his church. God says, you've got it all backwards. It's not how I made this. I am waiting on you. You plant the seeds, I'll make them grow. Why does God do that? Why does he do it like that? Because every farmer knows sowing is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. I take what I got and I give it away. I put it into the ground. I plant it. I invest it. That takes faith. God says that planting is an act of faith. And that pleases him. The author of the letter to the Hebrew church confirmed this when he wrote, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Here's the principle. Whenever I have a need, I plant a seed. Do you need more time, more energy, more money, more support, more relationships, more wisdom, maybe more of your family and friends saved? Whatever you need more of, you plant a seed. It's a universal law of sowing and reaping. When I have a need, I don't gripe about it. I don't wish for it. I just plant a seed. Because nothing happens until a seed is planted. Third law is that you only get what you plant. Whatever I plant, whatever seed I put in the ground, that's what I'm going to grow. It's the law of reproduction. If a farmer goes out and he's got a truckload of barley and he starts seeding his fields, what's he expecting to grow? Durum wheat? No. If he's planting barley, is he expecting to get oats? No. Is he going to get pizzas? He may wish so, but he's going to get barley, right? Whatever you plant is what you're going to get back. He doesn't doubt it. He doesn't question it. He knows whatever he sows, he will reap. It's a law, a spiritual law that applies to every area of our lives. There's a phrase that's repeated over and over in the Bible's book of Origins, called Genesis, which we saw earlier. And it's a phrase where God says, each is to reproduce after its own kind. In other words, tomato plants produce tomatoes, right? Not potatoes. Apple trees bear apples, not pears. You're never going to see snow peas on a grapevine. Cows produce calves, chickens produce chicks, human beings produce baby human beings. Because in God's economy, we reproduce after our own kind. We reproduce what we plant. The thing is, this can work both positively and negatively in our lives. It can work for you, but it can also work against you, right? Whatever you sow in life, you're going to reap. The early church leader Paul taught the church in Galatia in modern-day Turkey. He said, you cannot fool God, so don't go make a fool of yourself. You will harvest what you plant. If you follow your selfish desires, you will harvest destruction. But if you follow the Spirit, you will harvest eternal life. So Paul says you can plant either good or bad. It can be either positive or negative, but whatever you plant will either work for you or against you in your life. What goes around comes around, right? If I'm planting seeds of kindness to other people, guess what? People are going to be kind to me. If I show grace and mercy and cut people some slack, when I need it, it's going to come back to me when I blow it. If I'm forgiving, if I'm generous, whatever I sow, I will reap. But what about if I'm angry all the time? What am I going to get back? What if I'm critical? People will judge and criticize me, right? If I cheat others, if I gossip about people, guess what? And let me just give you a little hint. Anybody who will talk to you about somebody else will just as likely talk about you to somebody else. You can count on it. Gossips are indiscriminate. And the Bible says they will reap what they sow. It's because it's a universal law. But what we want to do is we want to plant one thing and reap something else, don't we? Doesn't work that way. You can't plant beans and get grapes. You can't go out on Friday night sowing your wild oats and come to church on Sunday and pray for crop failure. Only the farmers will get that. It doesn't work that way, folks. No matter what you pray or how much you pray, it doesn't work that way. You can't get away from this law. You sow a thought, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow your character, and you reap a destiny. Whatever you give out, you're going to get back. Okay, here's the fourth principle. So first was everything starts as a seed. Nothing happens until a seed is planted. Whatever I sow is what I'm going to reap. This one I think may surprise you. You're not the only one planting. You're not the only planter, folks. You're not alone in this. That means is you are right now reaping good and bad from people who've sown into your life. In Matthew's eyewitness account of Jesus' life and ministry, this is what he recorded. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. So Jesus says that there are other people sowing both good and bad seeds, right? The workers help the farmer plant good seeds, right? The enemy also came along and planted some weeds, it says. So what's this mean? It means that there are people who have planted in the past, and there are others who are planting now that all have an effect on your life right now and in the future. In many ways, we're reaping what previous generations have planted, what they worked for. For instance, you enjoy many things that you didn't pay for, you didn't work for, you didn't put in the sweat equity. You drove here this morning, many of you, I'm sure, to a facility you did not build, on a road you didn't pave, in a car you didn't design, with gas you didn't process, from oil you didn't drill from the ground. Someone else sowed the time, creativity, and effort into those things. They sowed, you get the benefit. The opposite's also true. You have been affected by the bad things that others have sown as well. Some of you grew up in families where there was a history, maybe of generational abuse or alcoholism or alienation. You need to say, it stops here. I'm breaking the chain. It's not going to affect my children or my grandchildren. You might look back at the previous generations in your family and think, boy, what a bunch of stinkers. What hope is there for the future of my family? Can I just say that the fact that you're here in this room right now or watching online tells me that your chances are very good? Because there is a way for you to stop the destructive pattern. And start to sow seeds of righteousness into your family. The Bible says there is only one way. And it's found when you put your faith in Jesus as the Savior of the world. And let him lead your life from now on. Paul told the church in Corinth, Greece, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. That means the old way of living has disappeared. It's gone. A new way of living has come into existence. When you place your present life and eternal destiny in the hands of Jesus, old patterns, old things are passed away from previous generations. They're broken. They disappear. And God gives you a new beginning, a new life with purpose, a new hope for the future, and an eternal home with him forever. Peter's probably the best known follower of Jesus. I want you to listen to what he wrote to the early church. He said, "You were redeemed." That means you've been paid for and set free. "From your empty way of life, inherited from your fathers, from previous generations. Not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. You have been born again." That means you've been given a new life. "Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." If you want your family, your children, your grandchildren, to reap a good and godly heritage, you need to plant right now. It's never too late to plant. I don't care what anybody says. You plant, you're going to reap. You say, starting today, March 3rd, 2024, "So my family can have a hope in the future, I'm going God's way from now on." That's what God told his ancient preacher, Jeremiah. He said, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." If you're wanting God to lead you into that future, then I'm going to help you by leading you in a short prayer as we finish up my talk today. As we all bow our heads together, you can just pray along silently. God will hear you because he already knows your heart. So let's just pray. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been sowing selfishness by doing things only for myself in my own way and not giving you really any thought in my life at all. And I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me. Please make me right with you. I believe it. I believe Jesus came to show me the only way to God by dying to pay for my sin. So right now I ask you to lead my life. From now on, I want to discover more of who you are and who you created me to be. I want to start sowing good seeds into the lives of the people around me, especially those I love. Thank you for giving me a new life. A life that will bear good fruit for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the musicians come back, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, you chose to go God's way, let him lead your life, would you please let me know after the service? Or you can fill in one of the connect cards as well, especially if you're online. It's kind of hard to meet me up at the front here. But you can fill in. There's a connect card link to the video. And we'd love to share some resources with you, connect with you, and help out in any way we can. And hope you'll be back next week so that you can find out about and discover the laws of the harvest. So we'll see you then.